So, dear Andy, what can you tell us about your brand new single, Everything? In my opinion, it has a lovely AOR rock FM vibe, very melodic. How would you introduce it to the fans?
I would say it's a modernized version of a song that I wrote 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We did it in a slightly different version, but the singer that we have now, Paul Manzi, he is that typical. In fact, he's probably, in my opinion, one of the top vocalists around at the moment for singing, you know, that sort of commercial rock songs, you know.
Yeah, I'm a huge Arena fan, so I know him. He's amazing.
Yeah. Oh well, that's good, because he came to us at a time when we just made a decision about who was going to be the lead singer about 15 years ago, and our second choice was Paul, and we kept him in mind every time, because there are times the only person who can't leave this band and have a day off is me.
Yeah.
Everybody else can say, I can't do that show, can you try and find somebody else? And when it was anything to do with keyboards, guitar, vocals, Paul was the guy that we used to bring in. And so it was a very easy decision about 3 years ago when our singer decided to follow his heart and go with, and break out on his own with a couple of other guys. Paul was the obvious choice, and it's been a great choice. It really has. And his voice has really added something. And I think that the song Everything, it deserves every chance it can get, you know?
Yeah. Well, going back to the last year, how was to record Isolation Boulevard during the lockdown periods? I mean, something very different from Desolation Boulevard, I suppose.
The only problem that we had was that we didn't really have any way of recording drums properly.
Mm-hmm.
So we found outtakes and live recordings of drum tracks that were so good.
Okay.
That we built the tracks from that. I lifted some synthesizers, for example, from the original recordings back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've had a lot of our master tapes digitized, so that we can access them from a computer now.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the guitar parts I liked so much from previous recordings that I used them. But it's all brand new vocals and mixing and bass playing, and you know, and Isolation Boulevard, I think it's been so well received. In fact, it was a little bit of a shock to me, because normally, you know, when you do like a compilation album, a lot of people kind of not shy away, but certainly radio people return to the original recording.
Yeah.
But we've had so many plays from the new versions that it's it's made me believe in myself again, you know.
Yeah, and how was to record your classic songs with the current lineup?
Easy, because the gigs have been good. Gigs that we did a big tour before lockdown, the band is really, really good, really cooks. I know I've said this before, but this for me, is a very, very good and very close lineup. I think it would challenge the original band in some ways.
Yeah, and what can we expect from your future live activity? Fingers crossed, of course, to have you like in Italy.
It would be lovely to come back to Italy. I love the food. I love the attitude. I love the way that, you know, the culture is, you know. I've not been further south than Naples, mm-hmm. and Capri and Portofino, but I've spent more time in the north where you are, like Milan and Bologna and Venice and places like that. But getting back on the road, we are about to do a big tour of the UK, United Kingdom, 16 shows in 4 weeks. Well, just a bit less than 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's one of the biggest things that we've done in a long, long time. And we're all kind of ready and looking forward to it. I just hope that people come out. At the moment, we are probably 50% sales, maybe a bit more. But it shows you that people are still a little, not scared, but tentative about whether they want to go to gigs. Yeah. But even if only 500 people show up, we are going to play. It's the same. It makes no difference to me. 500, 5,000, 50,000, the band will play the same.
Now, I've got a few questions from legendary Steve Sylvester from Italian Shock Rockers, Death SS, which is the biggest Italian collector of suite. First question is, do you, as a member of the band, own everything released as suite, or do you find this aspect like less interesting?
No, there's no such thing of me owning everything. Mm-hmm. I own the majority of what happened since the original lineup. Mm-hmm. But the original lineup, the families, because I'm the only one still alive, mm-hmm. so the families of the other three guys, they still receive royalties, they still participate in all of that kind of thing. But any decision about what the band does as a live band is mm-hmm. totally for me, and any decisions to do with records are still by me and the production company, who has been there since the beginning. We also have a publisher who's been doing pretty well with us. Mm-hmm. We've been getting some tracks in films, but no, to be a dictator, that's not me, you know?
Yeah. In fact, Steve Priest's recent passing makes you the sole survivor of the mythical and loved original lineup. How do you feel about this situation?
Well, while Steve was still alive, I had somebody that I could talk to, and we could agree and not agree, you know, at least there was some interaction. Now, it's just me, and I'm not saying that I'm not capable of steering the band and making the right decisions, but it's not something that I ever envisaged, being the only member from that original lineup. But I guess a life in rock and roll isn't always straightforward, you know?
Yeah, like Sweet have been a seminal band in the 70s, and they managed to influence loads of bands of very different genres. Many books have been written, even though, at least here in Italy, an official biography has never been released. Have you ever thought about writing it?
There have been a few books, and friends of mine who've read them, because I'm not the kind of person who would read a biography about me and then go, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. But they tell me that, you know, even when you go on Wikipedia, that's not right either.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe I should write a book, but I guess I'm too busy sitting down watching sports on television.
This historical period often offers documentaries and biopics in theaters or TV about various artists. Don't you think that a band such as Sweet, with a long and interesting story, should deserve something like that?
Yeah, I kind of I see where you're coming from, and we have been approached once or twice by certain people who've produced other, you know, documentary style biopics of other artists. Yeah, I think it's not a bad idea. It's a good idea, a documentary for Sweet, but I can also see that. Whenever I've been approached, I think they just need to find an angle to kind of tell tell the right story and to bring it up to date. But the main story is set, you know, between 1970 and 1981, I guess. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's let's put it this way: we don't have that in front of us at the moment. So, you know, when it happens, you know, it would be great.
Yeah, 1972. There was a legendary gig at Rome's Piper. The venue was Piper. Your first gig in Italy. What do you recall about that night?
I don't remember much. It must have been the only gig that we did at that time.
Yeah,
we were doing many different things back in 72. It would have probably been to promote one of the singles, like Little Willie or Wigwam Bam or something. And I remember us playing at, in Madrid and Mallorca at the same kind of time, and maybe we went to Italy. We also went to Yugoslavia, Ljubljana, and I just think it was like a promotional tour. So, no, I'm afraid I can't help you with
okay,
my
no.
memory is not that great, you know.
No worries at all. Recently, you have recorded an album with other two 70s glam rock icons, Suzy Quatro and Don Powell, of your rivals, Slade. How was this project born, and do you think there will be a follow-up to this great record?
Well, let's start with the last thing you said. There will be a follow-up. There
okay.
will be a QSP2.
Mm-hmm.
There will. Because I spoke to Suzy, would you believe, yesterday.
Hey.
And I've been in touch with Don
mm-hmm.
All through the lockdown, because he and I are old mates from a long time ago. The reason it came about, I was producing Susie's album, Back to the Drive, and her husband, when he saw the way we played together, he said, and also I got on stage with her, she got on stage with me sometimes, and he said, you should do something together. He said, there's a good interaction, you know, you like each other, you know, you're playing compliments. And I said, yeah, let's see if we can fit it in. Well, it took almost 10 years for us to fit it in. It was probably about 8 years before we finally got round to doing anything. And what kickstarted it was, we did a cover version of ABBA's Does Your Mother Know for a German television show.
Mm-hmm.
And it went down so well that we just carried on. We looked for some old rock and roll songs to start rehearsing. And while we were rehearsing, we were recording, because we went back to our roots, the beginning, you know, where we all started, a little bit of Elvis. And then, you know, when people like Bob Dylan broke through, and, you know, things like this. So we found that after about 3 days, we had 7 tracks recorded. So then Susie and I started to write some songs. She had a couple already. I had one. And then we collaborated and wrote another 3 or 4 songs. And all of a sudden, we had an album. And somebody popped up, one of the big labels popped up and signed us. And, well, there we were. We went to Australia with Susie, and she played in her backing band, which was QSP. We were like a support band for her, and it was great. You know, we did a month tour of Australia with her, and then it kind of all ground to a stop, because Don had his things to do with Slade, and I had my things to do with Sweet. And now we're coming out of the pandemic, and the first thing that Susie wants to do, she rang me and said, come on, let's get back together and do another QSP. And I said, well, Don and I have always said that it was a good thing. We all enjoyed it. It was good therapy. So, of course, you know, we're going to get back into it next year.
Yeah. And do you think there will be also, like, in the future, a new album by Sweet with original songs, brand new songs?
We're already working on that.
Okay.
We have the 3 singles that we've released since lockdown, which will go on the album, That's a record company request, and there will be all the rest of it will be brand new songs. So yes, next year there will be a new Sweet album. Whether it's the last album depends on whether people want to come back out and see us when we tour, you know.